On the record.
Good afternoon. My name is William Guzman. I am the hearings officer assigned to this matter. Today is Thursday, February 20, 2025. The time is 2:04 p.m. The case number is 12500022. Appellant's name is L.J. Joshin, and this matter involves the tow of a vehicle. We are appearing remotely today in the Zoom platform. I'm joined by the hearings office clerk and two individuals that I'd like to ask them to state their first and last name. Let's start with the individual I see, Officer Reyes.
Good afternoon. My name is Officer Jesse Reyes. I work for Portland Parking Enforcement.
Terrific. Thank you for being here. And then we have an individual that shows up as Taylor Hall's iPhone. Will you take yourself off of mute? You might have to hit *6 to do so. You're on mute right now. I don't know if you have a red microphone button, if you have a screen, if you can hit that. If you're actually on a phone and you're calling in, you need to like hit the unmute. I think it's *6. If you used a link to join, then you should have a screen with a menu bar across the bottom, and there's a red microphone with a line through it. I could be mistaken, but it looks like you came off mute for a second and it went right back on. So maybe try and do whatever you did one more time, but more gently. Menu bar across the bottom of your screen, red microphone. I can see your video. So right next to that camera that you just pressed is a microphone, if you could hit that one. Can't hear you. Yes, you can call us. It looks like you're on a phone, so I don't know if you have a separate phone, but there's a phone number that you can call in order to join. You only have one phone. Do you see a menu bar with a red? You do? And when you touch it, what happens? Can you touch it gently one time? I can't hear you. Seeing you is less important, but hearing you is very important. And so I think the best we can do for you is to have you call in. And I'm going to give you the phone number. So if you'll grab a pen, I'll tell you what that phone number is. You ready? Okay. 1-669-900-6833. And then it's going to ask you for something called a meeting ID number. And that meeting ID number is 824-7389-1813, followed by the pound sign, that hashtag pound sign. So go ahead and hang up, and we'll wait a few minutes and wait for you to call in. Great, thank you.
think she's too long.
Right, we have an individual calling in, ending in 0547. Will you state your first and last name for the record?
Hi, this is LJ Joshin. I'm so sorry about the camera and the mute. I just wasn't able to go on the setting and I guess unmuted and whatnot. I apologize.
That's okay. I'm so glad you were able to connect. I'm sorry I don't have a video of you, but like I indicated before, it's much more important that I hear you and you can hear me than it is that we can see each other. So thank you for being here. I just want to confirm you are the owner of the vehicle?
Yes.
Okay, great. I have a few introductory remarks to make and then we'll get started and I'll hear from you on why you feel that vehicle should not have been towed. The first thing I want to do is I want to check with you. Did you receive your statement of rights?
No. Was that emailed?
It was emailed. It was emailed with the notice of hearing that let you know that the hearing was today. It was sent as a PDF attachment. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, I did see it. So I did. Yes, I guess I did.
Okay, great. Did you have any questions about what your rights are?
No.
Okay, if something comes up and I can answer it, I'd be happy to do so. Next, I noticed in your submission that there might have been a question or a concern around a parking violation citation. And I wanted you to know that you do have the right to contest that ticket, but not here today with me. If that does apply to you and you do want to contest that, that would be a separate proceeding that you would ask the court directly. And I think those tickets come in a yellow envelope with instructions and deadlines.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I did that separate. This is supposed to be for the towing that my car was towed for $398.
Great. I'm glad we're on the same page. That is a separate proceeding.
Yeah, so I don't know why we got the ticket. That's separate. I already know that. I already done that. They sent me a different, email saying that I have to wait 30 to 90 days. Because I thought this is for the towing.
Yes, this is for the towing. Okay. The next thing I want to do is I want to make sure that the parties understand what my role is. My role is similar to an administrative law judge. This is a quasi-judicial evidentiary hearing. So that's a bunch of fancy words to basically say that I'm independent, I'm a neutral decision maker. The way I'm going to decide this case is by looking at the facts, applying it to the laws that's written by City Council, and issuing a decision. In a matter like this that involves the tow of a vehicle, I can either uphold the parking officer's order to tow, finding that the tow is valid, which would mean that the owner, LJ Joshin, is responsible for the towing and storage charges. Or I can find the tow is invalid or otherwise unjustified, in which case we would reimburse the member of the public, the vehicle owner, for their towing charges. So that's how I'm going to make my decision. And that is the scope of my authority. As far as the hearing, it's important to me that both sides get a full and fair opportunity to present their side of the case. I would like to start with the member of the public and have them explain why they think the tow is not valid. When they're done, we'll open it up to cross-examination, which is a fancy way of saying that I'm going to ask questions and the parking officer may ask questions. When that's over, we're going to let the officer testify and explain why they ordered the vehicle towed. We might read their report, look at photographs, things of that nature. When they indicate that they are done, we will then cross-examine them. Again, that's just a fancy way of saying that I may ask questions and the member of the public, the owner of the vehicle, may ask questions. When we're done, just to be completely fair, we're going to let the member of the public have the final word and respond to whatever they heard the parking officer testify that they want to respond to. After that, we're going to end the Zoom call. I'm going to start typing up my decision. My decision is going to analyze the facts against Title 16, the applicable laws, and then I'm going to issue a legal conclusion that will be emailed to the parties. The top page will say who won and who lost, and the last page is for the losing party to, if they choose to, avail themselves of the next level of review with a court and a judge down at the courthouse. We're about ready to get started. I just have two last items. First, I want to know whether the parking officer objects to me admitting into the record exhibits 2 through 16. Any objection?
No.
Thank you. Member of the public, owner of the vehicle, do you have any objection to me admitting into the record exhibits 2 through 16?
Which exhibits are those? The ones that I submitted my valid registration of parking zone permit and also where I live, right in front of the building. I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know which exhibits are, but I guess yes.
Do you have access to the online case management system?
I do, but my Wi-Fi is really bad here, and I can't. This is just...
Okay. Well, I tell you what, it sounds like you're not familiar with what the exhibits are, so here's what I propose. We're going to go ahead and get started, and when we come to the parking officer's presentation, we're going to go through all of their evidence. If, after hearing that evidence during your response, you want to object to me admitting any of those into the record, that's going to be your time to do so after you know what's in the record. A failure to object at that time will result in me admitting them into the record. Is that an acceptable way to proceed?
Sure.
Great. Last thing I need to do is swear you both in. Will you please raise your right hand? Officer Reyes, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you provide here today is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may lower your hand. LJ Joshin, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you provide here today is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may lower your hand. All right. As I indicated, we're ready to get started, and we're going to start with the appellant. I want you to understand that I did read your submission, but this is your opportunity to state in your own words and elaborate in any manner you think appropriate so that I have a full opportunity to understand from your point of view why your vehicle should not have been towed. Go ahead.
Are you asking me or the officer?
You. Go right ahead.
Well, basically, I got home on Saturday from work, and I parked my car. There was no any signs. I live on 1950 Northwest Pettigrove Avenue, and I think the car was towed from 1947, so there was no signs or indication. I do have a permit for the parking zone, and so I left town. I came back, and my car was gone. I mean, just imagine all the frustration, and I just was really, really, really afraid of what had happened to my car. So the next thing I know, I had to, I saw the sign. The sign wasn't even by where the car was. The sign was further up. So basically, I don't understand why my car was towed when when I'm parked in my zone, which is the M zone parking lot.
Okay. Anything else at this time before we hear from the, before we submit you to cross-examination?
I mean, I basically said everything I said on my, on the reasoning and whatnot. So I'm not understanding why I would have to talk to someone for me to get cross-examined. I submitted all the information that was provided. I did not see a sign, so I guess I'm done. So whatever he has to say.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, I don't have any questions for the owner of the vehicle. Officer Reyes, this is your opportunity to ask the witness any questions. It's not required. You can skip over that part and simply present your side of the case. What would you like to do?
I have no questions for the defendant.
All right. What would you like me to know about why the city ordered the tow of the vehicle?
If we could please review the exhibits that I have submitted.
Yes, in the case management system, Exhibit 12 is your tow report form, 13 is the parking citation, 14 are the citation photos, 15 is the city code reserve zone, and Exhibit 16 are the install photos.
May I, please?
Would you like to read your report into the record and I'll screen share and look at your photos?
Yes, please.
Do you have a copy of your report in front of you, or?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. That's okay, no problem. I can open it here for you.
Thank you.
So the top page has lots of information that describes the vehicle and some dates and times. The narrative, however, is on page 2. I'm gonna open that up a little bit larger here and let you read that into the record.
If I may. I responded to a service request, 277. It was a tow request for a vehicle in a reserve zone. I verified that the reserve zone was posted and the date of installation was also noted.
And what was the verification date and time?
The verification, it was installed on February 3rd, 2025 at 8:26 a.m.
And did you take any photographs at the date and time that you ordered the vehicle towed?
That information is going to be on my citation.
I have opened up Exhibit 14, which are photographs, and it looks like there's 6 photographs. Were these taken at the date and time that you, approximately, that you ordered the vehicle towed?
That is correct, yes.
All right, it looks like the first one is a close-up of the license plate, and I see there's a date and time stamp, February 5, 2025 at 8:47 a.m. Is that accurate?
Yes.
All right, the next one on page 2, what is this an image of?
This is an image of the signage, the delineator that was posted, and it gives the information on when the zone is in effect, the dates. That's one of the postings that I took a photo of.
And you called it a delineator. Is that the same thing as a no parking sign?
The delineator specifies that that area has been reserved, whether it be by a company or by an individual. If I may give an example, an individual may reserve or request delineator. They pay for signage, delineator signage, because they may be moving into the area and they want to have a space reserved.
But I wasn't even near any of the places that needed to be done. And plus, it's my parking in front of my building, and I was out of town. How are you supposed to know? If you live in the building and you park in front of your building, and you leave town, you come back and your car is gone. I don't get that.
LJ Joshin, I believe I indicated that at the beginning
I'm just frustrated. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well,
yes.
I think at the beginning I said that you were going to get a chance to talk again. So after the parking officer is done testifying, we're going to come back to you and let you ask questions and respond to what you've heard. My preference would be that we let the parking officer testify without being interrupted. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Officer Reyes, you were explaining how these delineators are for reserved parking and giving an example of when somebody might ask, like they need to move in. This one looks like it's in effect 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, February 3rd through February 7, 2025. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And I understand that these were posted on February 3rd, 2025. Is that accurate?
Yes, I have. Well, when I can go to other exhibits, when you feel it's appropriate. But if I may continue.
Yes, go ahead.
So there's a picture of the vehicle, and then there is the signage, the delineator signage to it. And then there's another photo showing that there's further signage down the block on a barricade sign. Then there's a picture showing that I wanted to verify that this vehicle did not belong to the organization that wanted it reserved. So I took a photo of that to show there was no valid dash permit, which is our procedure.
All right. And then there's some sections of the citation is Exhibit 13. The sections of city code you want me to refer to are Exhibit 15, and then Exhibit 16 are some install photos. What are these install photos of?
The install photos were submitted or taken by the officer who installed the signage, the delineator signage, and it's time-stamped as to, it shows photos, and it also shows timestamps as to when the officer installed it, who it's installed for, and the length of time, you know, it shows basically what's posted. That way, you know, obviously we take it very seriously. We do not wish to inconvenience people. We understand both sides. We do not wish to inconvenience the organization that requests the delineator, and also we do not want to put an undue burden on the public. So we go through a verification process formally, which you can see that the signage was posted, and also it shows this is what the officer took who installed them, and also you can see further down in this photo that's there, that there's the delineator van, and there's one of the officers who's also was involved with installing the signage. So that way we know it's legitimate.
All right. Anything further from the city before we open it up to cross-examination where we ask you questions?
No.
All right. You heard that the member of the public parked their vehicle on February 1st, and the signs weren't posted until February 3rd. The vehicle was towed on February 5th. They came back to town on February 6th and discovered the vehicle was gone. How could they have gotten notice if they had already left town and parked the vehicle prior to the signs going up?
Well, if we could... The signage is posted in public. Citizens should we recommend to the public that if they're going to leave an air, you know, leave their vehicle up there, they want to move it, they want to check on it within, you know, it should be moved every 24 hours. This is a frequent problem that we have in the Zone M area where someone may be going out of town for a few weeks, you know, business trip, family residential, you know, family trip, whatnot. And then we appreciate the fact that they do have Zone M APP permit, but once again, the vehicle should be moved every 24 hours, even with a valid Zone M APP.
That was my only question. This would now be LJ Joshin's, the owner of the vehicle's, opportunity to ask the parking officer any questions, and when they're done, to provide any sort of response that they want me to consider in support of their appeal that the tow is invalid or otherwise unjustified. So do you have any questions for the officer?
So, Officer Reyes, you say we're supposed to move every 24 hours. How are you supposed to? First of all, I'm here from California. This is my one, you know, first year going to living in this hellhole. So if I had known this, this is what, you know, when I actually went and got the M zone, and maybe you guys would have let me know. Well, by the way, when you get the permit, when you park in front of your building, make sure to check every 24 hours, even if you're out of town, to see if there's going to be a signage saying that there's going to be probably moved because there's, you know, construction's going on or whatever. Well, one of the residents of this building told me that normally the people that put the signage up, those workers, it was for the construction. There's been construction going on in front of my building for the past year. So that's finally built, which is for the Dove Lewis Dog, whatever, hospital. So now that's done, he told me that normally the workers that come in the morning that they don't have parking, they put those signs up on the trees and on the sides to make sure that they can park their car. But that was my understanding. And as me leaving town, going back to California, how am I supposed to, I don't know anyone out here. How am I supposed to check and tell someone to move my car every 24 hours? But now that I know, that will never happen again. So for this reason, I shouldn't be charged $378.
Okay. I didn't actually hear a question in there for the officer.
Well, the question was that, how am I supposed to know? The question was, how am I supposed to know that you change the every 24 hours? Or how am I supposed to know this?
Okay. Officer Reyes, do you have a response to that? It's okay if you don't.
It is my understanding. Please bear in mind that I do not process permits. I am not a permit processing technician for any of the area parking permit programs. However, I have talked to the permit technicians or coordinators, and I have asked them if citizens do receive information about all of the restrictions in regards to receiving any sort of a area parking permit program. They have assured me that that the citizen does receive information via email. They log in and they enter all their own information in, they create a login, and they have to submit paperwork, you know, car registration, lease or whatnot to prove that they live in that area. And then once the permit has been processed and approved, it's my understanding that they do, that the resident does receive an email packet which provides them the restrictions of the zone, the area parking permit program, and different things that an area resident may come across residing in that area.
So you're saying that they don't just put the signs up there just in case they can have their own parking when it comes to the construction workers?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
The question is that they put sometimes when there was construction going on here, even though it's not, they put those red signs anyway so no one can park. So they, whoever is the diligent of the workers of the construction, they have their own parking spot. Is that not true?
I would need a specific example. I don't feel comfortable answering that question. And respectful.
I have no further questions, Officer Reyes.
Okay. Does the member of the public have any additional response to the city's evidence that they want me to consider before we end the Zoom call and I start making my findings of fact to decide the case?
No, sir. I just want you to make sure to look at the that I wasn't here in town and I did not know, and I've only been living here a year and a half, and take into consideration that I will, from now on, be very, very careful and know to what to do before parking my car in a zone that I've already paid for. So please take that again, and then I would, you know, hopefully that I can get my, you know, my refund back, because I do live on paycheck to paycheck, and this is very, very, you know, frustrating for me, and hopefully this will not happen again in the future. That's it, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. I have made a note of the considerations that you want me to take under advisement. I will include those in my written decision. I want to thank the parties for helping me understand the facts of the case and the issues that they want me to be considering. As I indicated, I'm going to take the case under advisement. We're going to end the Zoom call. I'm going to type up my findings of fact. I'm going to issue a decision. It'll be emailed to the parties. The top page will say who won and who lost, and the last page is court contact information so the losing party can take this to the next level of review with the judge and the court in case they think I made a mistake. All right, nothing further. We're going to go off record and end the Zoom call.